outside, and you can stop on in for myself, Mike Persuda, and Bob Labriola to do 2 hours of Steeler football. Right now, we're going to get a chance to talk Steeler football of today and yesteryear with Art Rooney Jr. His book, it's been out for a while now, Rooney, which is the Gaelic pronunciation of the name Rooney, and a very interesting book. And Mr. Rooney, I appreciate you coming on and talking to us today. And when did you say to yourself that, hey, I just have to write a book? Were you a pretty young guy and you started putting things in your mind in your notebook, or did it happen a little bit later on in life?
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, we were in the old Roosevelt Hotel. It was a couple of years before we went to Three Rivers Stadium. And one of the Sports Illustrated writers and editors named Mark Sharnick dropped by to visit with my dad. And we really didn't have people like that show up around our place, you know. I mean, they were going to the place, the winners, not the losers. And he met, you know, the people around the office, and of course, a little bit later, my dad. And he told me as he was leaving, he says, you know, you guys have more characters around here than Damon Runyon had on Times Square and 42nd Street.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, you should start writing this stuff down. He said, because I'll tell you, as the years go by, this will all be lost, you know, and people will forget about it. And Sharnick and I became real good friends over the years, and he kept after me all the time. But I was a scout for the Steelers, and I was too busy writing scouting reports about guys with quick feet and lateral movement and striking the rising blow and things like that. And but finally, when I turned 60, I thought to myself, you know, I should start writing this stuff up. And I wrote all that longhand, and it took me 12 years. And four of it was with Roy McHugh, who's one of the great writers and editors and sports writers in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally got it done, and Roy was 92, and I was 72, and we finished it. And it should have been something for ARP, you know, but we did get it finished, and people, we had readers, you know, and I wasn't even going to sell the book. I was going to give it to libraries and friends and relatives, and the people at Reddit said, you know, you should try to sell this thing. And right now we're in the fourth or fifth edition of the darn thing. And so we, you know, are going to make one big effort again to sell it. But people who read it kind of like it. You know, it's you know, the story of the Rooney family over in the north side, and, you know, way up to the good old years of the Steelers. Chuck Noll told me one time, he said, I was telling some stories about the old Steelers, and he said, yeah, Art, you're celebrating the bad old days.
Uh-huh.
And but people do, they do like it, or seem to like it anyways. And it's a long book. I when I wrote it, was writing it, as I said, longhand, Roy McHugh got me, and he said, you know, he said, you are a guy who writes as he speaks. He says he has some sort of blend of Northside, Pittsburgh, you know, Irish, and he said it'd be okay for a short column.
Uh-huh.
He said, but for a history-type book, he said, no one can read 500 pages, you know, the way you talk. And he said, I'll try to civilize it for you. Now, that civilized was not my Roy's word, it's mine. And at times would be writing, I mean, we're really the odd couple. You know, because he was such a learned guy, and like I say, I was a true North Sider, and he would tell me, he said, "Did you ever hear James Joyce?" And I said, "Oh yeah, that was great Irish writer." He said, "That's right." He said, "The difference is he was brilliant, and you're not." He said, and he says, "And you both use a stream of consciousness in your writing." He said, "He always got to the point, and you never come to the point." And we like I say, we finally did get it written, and I. You know, like I say, a lot of people bought it, and a lot of people, you know, have given copies of it away, too. My secretary doesn't allow me to keep too many copies in the office. And I said, I need a copy of the book. She said, I know you need a copy of the book. You're going to give it to somebody. She said, you know, you're not going to break even if you give all these books away all the time. You know?
Well, you know, as I sit here and talk to you, and I'm in a studio right now, I think I need a Jameson over ice as I'm sipping it and just discussing, you know, because you weave these tales like a great Irishman. You know, that Irishmen just have a flair, don't they, for sharing a story in a certain style.
Storytellers, one of the guys that read it recently said it has a lot of Frank McCord in it. And,
mm-hmm.
I know Frank McCord, he did have a lot of funny things, but they were quite sad. my dad's stories usually have a happy flair to them, and the way the Steelers ended up in his final days, it was very, very upbeat.
Did you have any tales you hesitated to share in the book?
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah. I put some things in the book because I wanted to be as accurate as I could do it, and I had a couple of the relatives that wouldn't talk to me for a long time.
That's the risk, huh? I mean, if
really
you disclose something that may offend somebody.
Well, the Rooneys, like a lot of Irish families, guys that had alcoholic problems, and in those days they didn't have AA and things like that, and because now that it's something that with work and prayer and things like that you can get over, but that was a different era, and such wonderful people, good people that really had terrible problems in their life. And of course my grandfather was a saloon keeper, and the environment wasn't too good in that situation, but they all had a certain amount of humor to them. I remember one time Phil Music wrote a story about me, and kind of said I was a lucky guy, and I told my dad, I said, hey that story of Phil wrote had like two sides to it. One that has done a good job, and the other thing I was darn lucky. And my father said, "Listen," he says, "I've known brilliant guys who do not have good jobs." He says, "I've known very talented people that just can't hold a job." He said, "Now the hard workers usually have a job, but an awful lot of hardworking guys, don't move on." He said, "But all the lucky guys I know," he said, they all do real well for themselves. He said, "They're usually really nice guys, too." He says, "I never, ever complain if anyone says you're lucky." And I was darn lucky to be born, into Art Rooney's family.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. What was it like being a kid who, early in your life, you didn't have the fame, you didn't have the fortune, things like that, and then it kind of started to arrive, and then your profile, your family's profile got so big. Was that challenging at all? I mean, I know it's not like today's day and age when you have paparazzi around you and things like that, and everybody can videotape everything you do. But was it was that a tough road to hoe a little bit? From being nondescript somewhat to being famous.
Well, the thing was in the old days, I would always duck down the side alleys after we got beat. We were beat all the time. Anyway, we came off a 9-year losing streak, from Buddy Parker till the third year of Chuck Knowles at the time with us. And as I got older and I got the job in the scouting department, Dan had to stick around town and Dad would, be kind of nasty. But I just took off and went to Spokane, Washington or something.
Is that, got
the football
right,
players. And,
right.
And then we did get good. And people were, all patting you on the back. And I thought, gee, is this a real world? I remember I was ducking down the side alleys, and we were known to be cheapskates and dumb.
Uh-huh.
And now they don't think we're too dumb, but at the time they think we're cheapskates. And I take that now as a little bit of a compliment that we're not throwing our money away.
Well, you one thing you did, it was interesting. We're talking to Art Rooney Jr., who penned the book Rooney, and interesting book. Actually, you can get it off the web. You can get it still off the website, can't you, Art Rooney Jr.?
Oh, yeah. You just go to artrooneyjr.com, and you can get the book there.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you went to some obscure places to scout players. You referenced your scouting and at a time when people just didn't go to those places. Can you kind of take us through that part of your job where you were going places where really no other scouts were going, and also you were carving up some pretty good gems for the Steelers organization?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I was out in Utah one time. It wasn't, a little place. It was Weber State, and I guess it was a little place. And a couple of scouts from other teams were there, and they didn't know me. In those darkened film rooms, I don't know who they're sitting in there with. And they're saying, well, you should be a personnel director, which that's what I was. And they said, you don't have to get out on the road until Friday. And here it was Tuesday, and I was sitting there, and I thought, you two stiffs, I would never hire you two guys in my life, complaining about this stuff.
Right.
I said, I'm here on Tuesday, and you're complaining that you want to be here on Fridays, And I didn't take, names and number and kick rear end, but I did think to myself, you better keep your mouth shut in the film room. You don't know who you're sitting next to. But I would go to the all-black schools, and boy, that was really something because, you go in the dressing room of those places, and these guys are cut. They're built so well, and one thing growing up around the team, you could see bodies that belonged in a pro dressing room. And so many of these kids in the black schools were just built beautifully. And you go out and watch them move, they're running. And that was I'm getting a little bit off the point now of your question, but
no, I'm intrigued by that, because that at that time, that wasn't happening a lot. You were
that much. You know, you'd be there by yourself, and the coaches were marvelous. You know, the black guys, the black coaches, they'd say, "Look, all of our kids want us a chance. Just give them a chance." And of course, they got the chance that they deserved to get. Now, 67 to 70% of the players in the National Football League are Afro-American, and it was really something. You know, the treatment you got was great. The athletes were great, and boy, as the years went by, and a lot of it was Chuck Knoll. He got these kids, and he told us when he came in, he said, "I don't care what color anybody is, what their religion is." He said, "Just so they're decent guys." He said, "I'm not looking for choir boys or anything." He said, "Decent guys that have some toughness and coachability." And a great athlete. He says, "I'll work with him." And boy, he wasn't kidding. He would take some of those kids that we brought in like that. For example, Glenn Edwards, you know, from Florida A&M, came in as a halfback and a running back. And Chuck saw something into him and coached him into being a defensive back. And he played on two Super Bowl teams, a Pro Bowl. But he would work with those type of kids like their first draft choices, just so they would show the talent and the intangibles. But there's some funny stories going to the small schools, you know, little things that would happen. And I was going to the University of Pacific. It was called College of Pacific then.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the campus, and I'm going and asked to talk to the coaches. I'm talking to the coach, and he said, "Where'd you say you're from?" And I says, "Pittsburgh." He says, "Well, no wonder you're here. You don't know where you're going." I says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Look across the that big practice field there." He says, "This is a junior college." He said, "The University of Pacific is over the other side of the field there." Yeah. We got a kid out of there.
You know? I was going to ask you, did you still find somebody anyway, huh?
Oh, yeah, we got a tight end out of there. But those type of things, did happen. But one of the funniest things that would ever happen our spring meeting with Blesto, you know, the scouting group, and the fall meetings, because these scouts have been out on the road, for the whole spring and the whole fall, and they'd come in, and you'd, after the meeting, you know, you'd have your hospitality room, and they'd get a couple of beers in and start telling stories, you know, about things like I just told you. No, it was really funny. They were great. The Scots were all great guys too. They were, in some ways, they were the low rung of the totem pole. They weren't getting a lot of money. They just wanted to be around football, and they were. I really made some friends and some good people, and I was lucky enough. My dad and mom gave me the job, and it was pure nepotism the way I got hired, of course. But I just always had the attitude too. If I got this job because of my folks, I'm not going to make them ashamed of me. I'm going to work and do the very best I could.
That's an interesting way to frame it, too. Now, your son was just featured in – that was your son, right? Featured in the paper today.
Yeah, that's an interesting
movie. I'm very – I got to tell you, the carpet rides with the vehicles,
yeah,
and that's
– He was a NYU – he went to Washington Jefferson College and up to NYU into the that artistic type school, and this guy is 6'6". And when he graduated from NYU, I asked him what he wanted as a gift, and they had all these artistic guys. And he says, "Get me an over and under." And I said, "Over and under? What in the heck's an over and under?" He said, "A shotgun." He said, "I have to go shooting." And I said, "I don't know if you belong with this group here or not." You know.
Right.
But he was a talented guy. He won a couple of awards, and he worked for the Stewarts for a long time, you know, in the film department. And then he worked... his job now is up at Yonkers Raceway, filming all the races and that stuff. And on the side, he produces, I don't know if you call it a film anymore, but it's a documentary about these guys that run these little cars. They're radio-controlled cars. And, you know, some of the people put tons of dough in it. And it's really a big advocation. They try to travel all over the place with it. And I just sort of scratched my head, and I thought, boy, couldn't you be doing a movie on something else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's getting a lot of reviews of it.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. He's talking about maybe they'll make an entire movie out of it,
that's like me hoping that some of the kids that we took in the draft will become all pros. You know, that can happen. That cannot. That's have the potential for it. But he sure has a talent to do things like that. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Rooney, I needed to clear out more time for you. I appreciate you talking to us and discussing this book.
I'm Irish, and I can talk to you all day, especially about my dad and his life, and goes all the way from about 1910 to 1988, and he was a special guy, and you're talking about being a big shot. I feel like I'm a big shot, and my dad gave me a job, and I did my best not to mess it up.
Well, a lot of great stuff at the Rooney, things the Rooney family has done for this city, continues to do it for this city, and it is Art Rooney Jr. That's where you can get the book, Rooney, and great tales, and I mean, we can only give you a taste of it there, but as you mentioned, it's on the fourth or fifth now, huh?
Fifth printing.
Yeah, so that's that means people are still waiting for it. Maybe it's a good Christmas item for anybody out there. Thanks so much, Mr. Rooney, for talking to me for a few minutes. Sure.
Bye-bye.
Glad to do it. That's Art Rooney Jr. joining us here, talking about his book, Rooney. I mean, he makes my job easy, actually. See, that way you throw a few questions out at him, and he knows how to spin a yarn. He is, that's what I said. He's kind of one of the guys you sit down next to at a gin mill somewhere, and you start chatting away, and some good stories just penetrate the mind. A lot of stories that you remember, and those are the ones in Rooney, and that is at that website, artrooneyjr.com. So if you're